This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 5th, episode 1228, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Wednesday.
Hit it!
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday,
well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. I thought we'd start the show off a little differently today because, you know, when I was at the conference over the weekend for all the podcasters, I met quite a few podcasters who do meditation podcasts. And I thought it would be appropriate that we all start the day by meditating today. So I've put a little sound file together to help us meditate with the help of my pony Scooter. So he helped put this together this morning. And if you could all just, unless you're driving, of course, or riding, if you could just sit back, relax, and close your eyes, and let's meditate on the day. And all the horse people should have recognized that sound. That was my pony eating grass this morning. And believe it or not, that's what it sounds like when you put a mic in his mouth. So, which he thought was a little strange, by the way. It's just
I was just about to start snoring. You can't talk to me in that voice and then tell me to sit back and relax.
And meditate.
And meditate. Gosh, now I'm going to wake up.
Did it sound like a horse eating? I mean, is that what you did? You pick up on that?
I thought maybe it was his nose in a bucket.
Yeah, but I was actually eating grass. It was actually eating grass. I had my phone down by his mouth. Yeah,
that was the thing. Is his nose was against the cell phone speaker?
Yes.
So I'm like, is he heavy breathing?
He kept trying to eat the phone. Actually, it's a problem I had.
Oh, that's funny.
So I just thought, there, now everybody can start the day in a wonderful place.
Oh.
I should do my own meditation podcast. It could just be my pony eating for 2 minutes.
Seriously, people like listen to podcasts.
There is one that literally gets about 500,000 downloads a day.
What do they talk about? Do they just breathe and hum?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it yet. I don't know.
Well, now I've got to download that thing. What's it called? I'm going to go look it up.
I'll let you know. I don't remember.
I have spent a lot of time on the YouTube channel that is Ocean Waves. Because if I play YouTube to Lucas and it's Ocean Waves, the kid falls asleep. Like in seconds. So I know what the meditation world is. I don't participate in it because I'm a little too high stress for that.
I was just going to say, you're like me, too ADD. About 1 minute in, I'm going, what am I going to do next?
Well, that's the problem is I'm not ADD. I'm just like, okay, I really need to get something done right now. I don't sit still very well. I'm like the poster child for meditation. What am I talking about? I'm going to the podcast.
You're the one that needs it.
I need it the most. Oh, I've had like a high stress kind of couple days too, and we're going to talk about why in just a minute. But I'm going to sit back and meditate while Jennifer tells us what's on today's show.
Do you want
show?
Me to play the music, Jennifer, or are you okay without the pony eating in your ear?
You can play the music, sure.
Oh, okay. Well, let's
just turn it low. Okay. Low. There we go. Okay.
All right. We're ready.
Wednesday, Back on Track Wednesday edition. Steve Krause from Cornell University Farrier Program drives into the Horse Health Report with a lowdown on hoof angles. Bewildering horse headlines and laughable list or two remain fulfill the remainder of our adventure through the Equinosphere. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
She's good.
Man, that did.
She needs to do a podcast about meditation.
I'm sleepy now. I'll see you later. Just
that was perfect.
Okay, gotta wake up. Gotta wake up.
All
okay,
right, here we go.
Go. Daily Whip.
My Daily Whinny goes out to a girl from Maryborough, Australia, by the name of Casey Dietz. Casey Dietz rides her horse, and she has to ride her horse along the road. And she's been having a problem lately in that people are not slowing down, and they're basically running her off the road. So she decided that she needed to slow the drivers down. And to do that, she has put on a bikini. And she rides in a bikini. And she said it is amazing now. Everybody slows down. So my Daily Whinny goes out to Casey Dietz for being inventive. And for all the horse husbands out there, we appreciate your efforts. And we want to know where exactly what roads you ride on. Because we'll be by. Just
Yeah, if I put a bikini on, people would honk and speed up. Get off the road! What are you doing? My eyes! Try to drive!
I will be posting a link to this on Horse Husbands Unite today on Facebook. Because there are pictures also of Casey Dietz riding in her bikini. Just
all right, well, I'm gonna go over and judge her. It's been too long since I've given a Daily Whinny to my boyfriend. And Glenn, who is my boyfriend?
Oh, there's so many, but Wise Dan comes to mind.
That's him! You don't even have this story in front of you. See,
I don't. No, I had no idea.
Good job. Wise Dan, my man, went and had a 5-furlong workout, which is when they like go really fast, and they timed him and he had the bullet, but he also had the only workout that distance that day. But whatever. He was on Sunday. He worked out 5 furlongs. The trainer, Charlie Lepresti, liked it, and he's considering entering him in the Bernard Baruch Handicap September 7th at Saratoga. Oh my gosh, do you know what this means?
No idea.
This means that if he's running September 7th, potentially he could be in the Breeders' Cup Mile again and win it again. And of course, I didn't get to go to the Breeders' Cup. Well, I went to the Breeders' Cup to see him, and he wasn't there because he had hurt himself. So this is the year to go to the Breeders' Cup. If you know somebody or you know something about somebody who is somebody in Kentucky and you can like hold them hostage for tickets because that's the only way you're going to get tickets, you may see Wise Dan. You may see American Pharoah, California Chrome is out, but the honor code is probably going to be there. I mean, this is a star-studded that's going to be a star-studded couple of days at Keeneland. It's just amazing. Just amazing. It's going to be an awesome spectacle at Keeneland Halloween weekend. So just keep that in mind. If you know something about somebody, let me know what it is so I'll be the one to hold it against them. I'll blackmail somebody for tickets.
Hey, I have a quick story to you about American Pharoah. You know how when he won the race the other day in New Jersey, they held a press conference after. I think it was the day after. I don't think it was immediately after the race. They held this press conference, and of course, Ahmad Zayat was there, the owner, and Bob Baffert was there, the trainer, and everybody was there, right? And including American Pharoah.
Yeah.
So apparently during the press conference, during the time when Bob Baffert was taking questions, he gets a phone call. And he looks at the number and apparently walks immediately off the dais, says, excuse me, I gotta go. Walks off the dais, takes his phone call. So Ahmed came up and started answering questions. Well, everybody is, of course, not paying any attention to the owner. They're watching Bob Baffert taking this phone call. And apparently he talked and it looked rather grim. And he hung up on the person, then quickly scrolled through his Rolodex and called somebody else and was on the phone for quite a while. And Ahmed was running out of things to talk about. And finally he said, what is going on? And looked at Bob Baffert. And Bob looked back and said, the horse is fine. The horse is fine. It's just a personnel issue. So apparently everybody was having a heart attack thinking that something had happened to American Pharoah. But
oh, my God.
He gave Ahmed a scare.
I was nervous. See, just
that, that would be Glenn's reaction too. Glenn would automatically assume there was something wrong with the horse.
Yeah, well, apparently all the reporters were thinking the same thing. So
I would too. I would have been like, I'll just sit here in silence instead of answer your questions nobody's listening to.
Yes.
This might be the time when Ahmed Zayat, because Bob Baffert was not there, decided that he wants his horse to make the next start in the Travers Stakes, which is August 29th at Saratoga.
He says,
I have made it very clear that I want to go to the Travers. We are motivated by what defines his legacy. If it's up to me, it would be the Travers. I've made my desires known to my trainer. He knows what I want. Now, looking at why the horse should and or should not run in the Travers is going to be the best of the best until the Breeders' Cup Classic. But the thing is, this race is August 29th, and then there's not another, you know, the Breeders' Cup, which is where they want to point him to and then retire him afterwards, is the 31st, October 31st. So now they're going to have to add another race in the middle of that to keep him fresh. And I'm like, gosh, the stress of that. So, I mean, I know Bob Baffert doesn't want to do it. They've just shipped him on a plane back to Del Mar. So he's back in California right now. And, I mean, I guess if you have money, you just fly your horse back and forth,
it's a
whatever.
Private jet with one box stall in it. It's like a Cessna with one box stall in
it. Oh, no, there's two because he has to take Smokey.
That's true. I forgot about Smokey. So that we're up to 747 then at this point.
Yeah. It's just incredible.
Do you think he gets cocktails, free drinks on the ride?
They call it Air Horse One.
He gets free drinks.
He gets free drinks, I'm sure.
Like there's a barf bag for the horses.
All the beer you want. So we'll see what happens. I think that Ahmed might have just spoken kind of out of turn, but he wants it. He wants it. The article was really interesting.
I don't get the impression that those two speak out of turn, Baffert and Ahmed, about this horse.
Yes, I don't either.
I don't think it's a California chrome situation.
No, I feel like Ahmed probably spoke a little out of turn on this one because everybody was looking at the guy on the phone.
I think they know how to play the press. I think
we shall see. We shall see. They've already upped the purse of the Travers to $1.6 million.
That's just to get him to go.
If American Pharoah runs, the purse is up to 1.6.
Well, you heard what happened at Monmouth. The place was packed. I mean, apparently they had planes flying over with the banners. And I mean, it was like a party. It was a big party.
Just amazing.
Any track wants that. I mean, more than their 300 bookies that are sitting there with their cigars betting every day. I mean, every track wants that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he also went on to say that, you know, if it was, it's not about the money. It's all about the money. And he's like, basically, if it was about the money, there's other tracks that have offered appearance fees for Baffert and Zayat. Like, just if you show up, we'll give you some extra money. So I guess the Travers isn't doing that. And he just really, he goes, if it were about the money, we would be going to Pennsylvania Derby because they're offering appearance fees to Bob and I. Just show up here with your horse and we'll give you money. We'll get everybody. Everybody gets money. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting to follow. It's not fair. I feel like there's like an end date to our love for American Pharoah, and it's October 31st. So I'm trying to get as much news in about him as possible until then. So you might get sick of it.
Well, no, there isn't an end date. It's not that early because he'll go on and win every award at the awards next year.
Eclipse Awards.
Yeah, the Eclipse Awards. He'll win everything. So we could still be talking about him until next year.
And then he's going to go retire to stud, which then I will stalk him and get myself onto that farm somehow and go visit him.
Well, we're good friends with the owner now, remember?
That's right. Justin and us. We're friends with Justin.
Yeah, that's right.
He's on our show.
Who else talked to him about his dating life when they interviewed him?
I know. Me. About his girlfriend. Me. And then you. Yep. You followed it up. So. Perfect.
Hey, I have, before we go on, I got to ask you about this story coming out of Arizona, because when I looked at my news feeds today, there was a million things. But before we do that, I just have one email I wanted to read, and this is kind of serious. So it's going to get us into your story, all right?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So, but I want this woman to know, her name's Sonia, and I want her to know that we're all there with her. That one of the mission statements of the Horse Radio Network was to unite the horse world through entertainment and education. And I think we're doing that judging by this email. Hello. This was to Jennifer, actually. Hello, Horse Tip Daily. Thank you for your fabulous podcasts. Listening to them is helping me grieve for the loss of my 35-year-old Welsh Mountain Cob, who passed away on Thursday. He was 1 year younger than myself, and we grew up together from a small child and a colt. It has been extremely painful for me as I'm currently living and studying in London. However, Murdoch was living with my parents at my home in Australia. Being so far away from him, not being able to be with him in his final moments or to get one last hug from him has torn me apart. Listening to your podcast is really helping me grieve. Thank you, Sonia. Well, I wanted to read that to let you know, Sonia, that we're all there with you. We've all been down the road you're going, and we're giving you one big world hug from the horse community and from our community. And it just goes to show you that, you know, that people are listening around the world, and we are certainly glad you are. And you'll get through this, and just like me, you'll come up with another pony eventually. But, you know, obviously he was your lifetime horse, and we all have that one, and we remember him every day. So hugs to you, Sonia, over there in London.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the Salt River horses and, well, what's going on here in Arizona. And I had one of those days yesterday where I am one of the people that is upset about Cecil the Lion. I am. I'm upset about it. And it's not just Cecil, the trophy hunting and all the nonsense that's going on over in Africa and from idiots in America. It just breaks my heart. My heart breaks over it. And then to get attacked online for supporting it is what happened to me yesterday. There's other things that happen that are more important. I'm like, maybe those things are more important to you, but they might not be more important to me. You know, I don't understand why people use Facebook as a way to attack people. It's crazy. So that being said, it's easy, I guess. I don't know. I don't get why people want to, you know, we post a picture of us on the donkey, which is a statue, and people immediately go, oh, that cruel people, you're sitting on a donkey.
But I have to admit, I crack up every time I get one of those.
Well, it's hilarious now, but it's not to the idiot who likes to, or, you know, my God, you lead your horse from point A to point B, where's your helmet? You know, just things like that, where people just love to jump on an attack. So at any rate, I think that also Facebook, while frustrating and kind of heart-wrenching at times, can also be an incredible savior. Social media can unite people the way you just can't even imagine. So there's some there's what's called the Salt River, which is in it's kind of east of Phoenix. I've never been there, and I've always wanted to go because they have a tubing where you can, like, you know, sit in a tube and go down the river. And why that is definitely not something that I would normally do. The Salt River is famous for a herd of wild horses that has been there for so long and seen the tubers that they're not really afraid of the tube. I mean, you can't go up and touch them. They're still wild horses.
Is this actually like a forest or?
It's the Tonto National Forest.
Okay. So there's actually trees. It's in Arizona. This is the part of the story that confused me.
Well, if you type in, let's see, I'm going to map it for you and give you a description of where it is, because it's actually east of Phoenix, and there, you know, the whole entire northern part of the state and Flagstaff and all that is forest.
Right.
And this is a forest that's east of Phoenix, and it's kind of like, I don't know how far east, but maybe northeast of Phoenix, and maybe 45 minutes from the heart of downtown.
Okay.
Up into this area called the Salt River. And it is where there's a big Roosevelt Lake, and the Salt River comes out of Roosevelt Lake and runs down through the heart of the city. And it goes all the way through. So it's one of the only water sources, and it probably dries up half the year. But this area is not dry, and it's forest, and it's really beautiful. And so there's a wild horse herd. Now, they're in jeopardy. On Monday, the Tonto National Forest Service posted a notice that by Friday, the horses are going to be rounded up and they will be sent, if not claimed by their original owner, they will be rounded up and sent and disposed of.
Who's the original owner? God?
So here's what they're saying. the Wild Horse and Burro Act, you know, in the 1970s protects wild horses, right. supposedly. What these did not get protection because the state says, oh, these are feral. These are feral horses that people like have let go. Well, they've been there for over 100 years, and nobody can prove.
So the
how
Indians
far back
let them go back 100 years ago, and that's the argument they're using.
Yeah, they're using the argument that they're not wild horses; they're feral horses. So they're having a distinctive difference. So what they're saying is, hey, people, come claim your horse. You have to have proof of ownership. Come claim it, and then if you don't claim it, we're going to auction it off and or destroy it. Just euthanize it. So there's all these horses in Arizona that are a huge tourist attraction.
Have they given a reason why they're one of them in the forest?
Yeah, here's their reason, okay? Because they're dangerous to the people that are in the forest.
It's a forest. So are the lions and bobcats and skunks.
Oh, yeah. So that's the reason they're giving.
Golly, the poison ivy is more dangerous.
Yeah, that's
They could get hit by a car. They said that there's reports of horses getting hit. There's actually no proof anywhere of any of that. And so the chick from the Forest Service was on the news the other day, and she very chillingly was like, they're a nuisance, and they're going to cause problems, and people are going to get hurt. So what I've actually learned since then, and it's not confirmed, but it's pretty much going to happen, is they want the grazing land
for
cattle. They're actually thinking about relocating the bighorn sheep that are there. I mean, there's a lot of protected wildlife in Arizona, and these horses are not on it. And they're thinking about relocating everything and or getting rid of everything because they need the grazing land for cattle.
And we all know how well that...
People, please be a damn vegetarian. Just go vegetarian.
We all know how well that goes when the government decides to introduce something that wasn't there or to move things around that were there. It never goes well. Never goes well.
No,
nature takes care of that.
It's terrible. It's a terrible idea. And the problem is that you have a lot of pissed off people in the entire world right now. And because of social media, this has become a huge story. I mean,
the national news. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I asked you this before the show, and you said you'd answer it during the show. Why is this one resonating when all of the roundups all over the West that happen all the time, they get a news story or two, but not like this?
The Salt River horses are the main – it's kind of like the ponies and Chickadee. Yeah. You know, they are the main thing that people go to look at. And there are photographers that go out there, and there is an organization, and I'm trying to get the president of the Salt River Management Group on.
Busy right now.
Yeah, they've proposed all sorts of ways to manage, but the Forest Service is like, oh, we don't have anything to do with it. But people, in the meantime, all the horses, they've named them all.
Do we know?
There is about 50, I think, horses in this herd.
Oh, so we're not talking thousands.
No, it's crazy. There's 500 wild horses in the entire state of Arizona. So it's not like this is a big problem, you know, but they've talked about birth control methods. They've talked about this. And the Salt River horses became famous, Glenn, a couple years ago, because if you saw the YouTube video that has like millions of views at this point, it is the herd where the stallion saved the filly from drowning.
Oh, yeah.
So the filly goes out and she's getting swept down the river, and the lead stallion goes out and grabs her by the neck and like drags her to the side. And so that's how they kind of became really famous, and they belong to the people of Arizona. They are a huge tourist attraction. Like, I've always wanted to go to the Salt River and Tube and see the wild horses. It's so far from me, and you kind of need to get there in the early in the morning, so that's why I haven't done it. But maybe when you guys come visit, we'll go do it. But they're so beloved here, and it's not like they're a huge problem. So the fact that all of a sudden the Forest Service is like, we're going to get rid of them, we're going to kill them all, has just shaken the entire community, and it's on every news story, everything. So I got you some audio from the news story last night. So what they did is they had a big rally. They were going to do a press conference, and then a bunch of horse people, hundreds, came to this rally. So this is from the news story. This is ABC 15.
A new move to stop a roundup of wild horses roaming free along the Salt River.
Legal action is in the works tonight. ABC 15's Lauren Vargas is live from the Tonto National Forest.
And Lauren, tomorrow, a critical day as we approach that deadline on Friday.
Yeah, the group fighting for the horses to stay here will file an injunction in federal court tomorrow morning, hoping to stop the Fed's plans. If that fails, any horses that aren't rounded up by Friday will be impounded, auctioned off, or disposed of.
Wild and free! Leave them be!
I cannot imagine how many hearts will be broken if the federal government is allowed to corral these horses.
They don't belong to you!
Emotions high as several hundred gathered in support of the iconic wild horses grazing just a few feet away.
They've been here as long as I've been here, and I've been in Arizona since I was three, and I've floated down this river and was
and she's old
over watching these animals, and I'm gonna cry.
For horse owner Jalen Marshall, these creatures mean everything.
I have a connection. And it's deep. I even told my husband, I said, if you don't take me with my horses, you will not have me.
He was passionate about horses.
The widow of Eric Marsh, one of the fallen Granite Mountain hotshots, asking that the horses be dedicated to her husband's memory.
We would be here today together if he was alive.
Save our horses!
It's the erosion of American rights and privileges. They didn't even ask what we wanted. They don't care what we want.
Greg Hoddy, one of many ready to make a human wall to keep the horses where they are.
What will you do?
Whatever it takes. If I have to even put my life on the line for these horses, no question.
And this guy looks like a biker.
Yeah.
So the lawyer for the Salt River Horse Management Group says he'll be in court tomorrow. He says there needs to be an environmental study done before these horses can be removed. Meanwhile, a petition on change.org has over 60,000 signatures. Back
to a lot of people still not understanding what the problem was in the first place, that they need to be moved. Lauren, thank you.
Exactly. She said it in the one sentence, yeah. Summed the whole thing up. Like, what's the problem?
I'm looking at the map here, and that forest goes from Phoenix all the way up to through the Grand Canyon. It's just green all the way. So we're talking tens of thousands of acres, and they're whining about 50 horses.
Yeah, it's really crazy. It's really crazy. I mean, it just breaks your heart. Yeah, this is like the forest that goes. It starts kind of east of Phoenix and goes all the way up past Flagstaff, like you said, all the way up to the almost to the Grand Canyon. So it doesn't make any sense. Now, granted, they kind of live that what they're calling these horses are water horses because they have kind of made their life. And that's what you have to do when you live in the dang desert is they have really adapted to the area. And they
and I guarantee you that the mountain lions live down there and every other critter in the forest hangs out by the water. That's what they do.
That's where you can see all the wildlife as they all go down to the water. So the fact that it just doesn't make any sense why all of a sudden they're like, oh, round them all up.
It makes sense. Somebody paid somebody and somebody said, I want them out of there. And that's what happened.
That's exactly what's happening. So, and there's just stories going around. It's just crazy what's going on here right now with these horses. And even if you don't have a horse, like I'm obviously very in touch with the horse news world and kind of what's going on because I do it for a living and I'm a horse person. But every single news channel was there last night. Every single local organization is there. And it's not just horse people anymore. This has gotten a little bit bigger. So we will definitely keep you guys posted.
And this was supposed to be on Friday, but I don't think that's happening, right? I mean, the roundup.
It's supposed to be on Friday. I mean, there's nothing that has stopped it yet. Well, what they're saying is they're going to start rounding up on Friday. It's just such a nightmare. I just feel like these somehow it goes back to some POS politician who's got the graze lands in his pocket and somebody paying him money. And you know how all that stuff works. It's just so crooked. And I just feel like there's somebody further up who, unless something legally is done to make these horses change from feral to wild, a very small line of distinction, that this isn't
any animal that lives in the forest by himself without aid of human wild?
Of course they're wild horses. But they didn't get protected. The herd was not protected in the 1970s by this group because they're supposed to live in certain places. There's so many rules I could bore you with if I really understood them all. But basically, these two horses did not get designation of wild. So that's what they're filing the injunction for, and they're trying to get them to actually be listed as wild horses. And being in a national forest on national land, then they would be safe. So we got a lot of work cut out for us, but I'll post that link. I've signed and posted on my own personal Facebook page every petition that I've found, but I'll go ahead and post that change.org petition on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. If you guys want to sign it and share it, that'd be great. I think that it just needs to be said that, you know, these 500 in the whole state. It's not like these are a big problem, and it's just something. There's something going on here.
All right,
but they need to be saved, and if you guys want to add your name to the petition, fantastic.
All right, well, give us
an
update.
If you hate horses, you're listening to the wrong show. Sorry.
That's right. Should be here in the first place.
Yeah. Get out.
So you're let us know. Give us an update on Friday.
I will.
All right.
Certainly will.
Sounds
I'll try
good.
To get some guest who actually knows more about it than I do.
Yeah, as I said, the head of that organization is kind of busy doing ABC and the Today Show right now.
I had one that was booked, and she had to cancel this morning.
Yeah,
so
it's because the Today Show called.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's hear from our sponsor, Back on Track, and then we're going to come back. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the horse's feet, and we're going to talk about the angles of the horse's feet. And I'm not saying that word because that'll just get Jamie all fired up again. So, listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, coming up next, we have Steve Krause, who's the head of Farrier Services, a lecturer, in large animal surgery, Department of Clinical Sciences, and he's at Cornell University. He's been on with us many times before, and we're going to be talking horses' feet today, like we usually do. Good morning, Steve. How are things there?
Good morning from sunny Ithaca, New York.
So now you're in summertime. Is there anybody? Are you alone in the building, and it's just like crickets? You and crickets?
No, I teach a course, a full summer course for 16 weeks with four farrier students.
Oh, great! Okay, I didn't know if anybody was actually there in the summer, or was just you by yourself.
No. We're busy. I teach 3 16-week courses a year for non-college students. These are farriers. Students, so we keep going all year round.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
Somebody's got to shoe the horses, Glenn. I mean, my God, they don't get a summer off, so he's smart enough to make people pay to come in there and learn how to shoe. Genius.
Well, we're trying to create the next generation of farriers out there.
Well, somebody's got to do it, and you're doing a good job. And you have to hire somebody who knows what they're doing. You know, somebody with education needs to shoe your horse, and that's what you're doing. So thanks for that. Now, talk to us again. Just give everybody a brief overview about the Farrier program at Cornell.
Well, Well, it's a 16-week course. We like to take people who have some experience, certainly have to work with horses and travel and work experience with another farrier so they can really hit the ground running. And we teach everything. We teach basic trimming. We teach shoe forging, shoe selection. So we teach them how to make shoes. We teach them how to use the existing shoes. The students get a lot of firsthand experience with shoeing normal horses for Cornell University-owned horses, like the polo team's horses, the equestrian team's horses, the broodmares that we have here for the farrier program. And they get to see a lot of advanced cases that come into the hospital, whether it be injuries or lamenesses. And you get to see things here you would probably never see anywhere else. And so it's a pretty thorough course. We're here all day, every day, and the students have to come prepared to work.
I'm looking at the, and Glenn, you should not go to this page, but the Cornell Farrier Program has its own Facebook page. And oh my gosh, the pictures are just amazing what you guys have accomplished and are doing. I'm looking at the different types of shoes and different things that you guys work on. Some of them are gross,
okay,
especially the...
I'll let you look at them.
I'll look at them for you because I'd like to ask you about the horse that had an infected coffin bone debrided due to infection because of severe laminitis. And they used, what did you guys use to help the rehab process? Tell us.
Medical grade maggots.
Yeah, you heard that, Glenn.
And they really do a good job.
Happy breakfast, everybody.
Job.
Yeah, medical grade. I didn't know there was a distinction between maggots and medical grade maggots.
Are they sterilized first?
You would call these thoroughbred maggots. they come from a lab in California who has been producing these things not only just for horses but for actually humans. They use them for like a management of burn wounds and things like that, and they do an excellent job. They're sterile. There's no chance of infection. This particular species of fly that produces these maggots is very controlled. That's a larva is what you get and you put in. And you put it in there for 3 to 5 days. And they clean up infected necrotic areas really well. That if I was to go in with even the smallest hoof knife, I would probably damage the horse and make them lamer. Where the maggots clean up all the necrosis. And I mean, they're really terrific. You just get past that they're maggots, they're just fine.
We are the only morning radio show in the world having this discussion right now.
Ain't that the truth? But, you know, that's why you love us. Well, hey, now we're here today to talk about hoof angles. And I'm assuming that that means the angle of the coffin bone inside the hoof. And I was looking on your Facebook page at a horse that, speaking of hoof angles, has a really nice hoof angle, according to the post. But it's a 12-year-old Percheron that had been barefoot his whole entire life. And the hoof on the outside looked beautiful, but had a lot of damage on the inside. Talk to me about that.
Correct. That particular case is a very heavy horse, a beautiful horse, a very nice horse. He had some joint degeneration, some low ring bone, and a lot of it having to do with his size, his weight, and even though he had a very nice hoof, his angle was actually inside his hoof was sunk back. So that's one thing we see, and there's a lot of different angles. There are the angles that you can see, which would be like the hoof pastern axis, which is that line that comes straight down, looking at the horse from the side, from his fetlock,
right
down the front of the foot. And then there's the angle of the coffin bone inside the foot, which you cannot see unless you have a radiograph. And that looks what we call, we're looking at the palmar angle. Palmar means the bottom of the coffin bone. And the palmar angle, it should be about 3 to 5, maybe even 6 degrees, depending upon the breed of the horse. And what we see in lame and underperforming horses is the palmar angle becomes very flat or negative, which means that that digital cushion area below the coffin bone is actually lower than it should be. And the digital cushion, which is part of that, it'd be nice to have my PowerPoint to show you all this, but that becomes crushed and doesn't work as well. The digital cushion is what keeps the foot healthy. It pumps. That's what's helping pump the blood in and out of the foot and up the leg. So if a digital cushion is compromised, that leads to eventual other lameness problems like navicular disease and so on. So the palmar angle is very, very important to me to know what it is, especially to help the horse. And when we see horses that have lameness problems, and there's nothing else that's showing up, but we have a flat or negative palmar angle, and when we do things about to help that, the horse always improves.
So does that mean a negative palmar angle? Does that mean that the coffin bone, like in a laminitic horse, has rotated downwards?
No. And when it rotates, it's actually a steeper angle. So the front of the coffin bone is actually pitched forward and torn away from the inside hoof wall.
Right.
The horse has a negative palmar angle. Almost like the horse is sunk backwards.
And that would affect like the navicular bone and navicular bursa and all
right,
that.
Right, right. So it puts a lot of pressure back there.
Oh my God, so, the stress that you guys deal with.
These internal angles are very important. And obviously most farriers don't have the luxury of radiograph that they can see these things if there's a problem, you know. So, but you do learn when you see enough of these and see enough radiographs, you can almost understand or bet that the fact that the horse probably has a negative palmar angle when I see certain things about the way the horse is standing and so on. But it's nice to confirm it with a radiograph.
Absolutely. So if what are some of the lameness things that you would see if a horse has the negative palmar angle?
Oh, they get what we call heel spurs. They get navicular disease. They could have tendon problems down there. All the things that's associated with overloading the back end of the foot. And also with the compromised digital cushion, generally the feet are not healthy. They don't grow as well. So you have poor hoof growth because you have poor blood flow. And you have all these, impact associated things going on with that over time causing problems.
Okay. Because I have you on the phone, and I'm sure that other listeners have had to deal with this. I have a horse.
This is like you just like meet a vet doctor. And you go, oh, by the way.
Yeah, but he came on here to talk about this kind of stuff, and now I've got me thinking. So it's very, I for some reason seem to always fall in love with a horse with a club foot. What is the palmar angle like in a club foot? What's going on inside of a club foot?
The palmar angle in a club foot, and it's probably a one side is a club foot on that horse, not both.
Correct.
So the palmar angle looks a lot like a horse that's got laminitis, except the front of the coffin bone is parallel to the hoof wall. It's not torn away like a laminitis horse. So you have a much steeper palmar angle, higher than average for that foot only. So that what's happening there is that foot, he's actually jamming the front of his foot into the ground too hard and not landing heel first. He's kind of landing toe first. We'd like him to land slight heel first and then roll forward and then lift off. A horse with a very steep angle jams their toe into the ground and quite often doesn't even heel load. When they actually do heel load at the end of the stride rather than the beginning of the stride, they heel load when they're bearing all their weight trying to move forward. And quite often these horses develop some type of lameness on that foot because they're quite often overworking the other side, which eventually develops some type of lameness. So the lameness or the soreness gets chased back and forth.
Oh my gosh, you just totally answered what was going on. My horse is like always sound on the club foot. It's just the other foot that has problems. And that makes total sense because he's overloading
that
one.
Now, I'll tell you another thing about your horse. Now, I've never seen your horse, right?
Correct.
Right. So what side is the club foot?
The right front.
Right. So when you ride him, he goes very good to the left. He takes his left lead very nicely. He makes a nice left circle. And if you ride him to the right, you have to struggle to keep him in a circle. Is that correct?
Well, part of that, I think, is well, you're right, but he is also a racehorse. So I feel he was a racehorse for a long time. So I feel like he is stronger on the left side as well.
Right, right. But he's a one-sided horse. He's a dominant left horse. Not just because he's a racehorse, but because he has an atrophied foot on that side. So if you look at his shoulders, you'll see he has two different shoulders, too.
Oh, my God. I feel like I got to put him down now. My God. Give me something.
No. This is just the management. Just look at his shoulders, and you'll see on his right side, that shoulder is not as prominent as the left side.
So what do you do? How do you fix it?
Well, you got to pad your saddle slightly different. I'll tell you something else about your horse. So when you're posting to a trot and you're trotting to the right, you post to a trot?
Yes, I do.
Does it feel like he wants to throw you onto the left diagonal when you're posting to a trot?
I don't know. You know what? I mean, I've worked so hard to try to make him even on both sides. But yeah, I definitely think I'm more comfortable when I'm posting with on the right diagonal because I'm up kind of going forward when that foot's. Does that make sense?
Okay. All right. Well, just check these things out when you do ride the horse and look at his shoulders. And the only thing we do with these horses, and it's very hard to describe this, you know, without the visual, but we actually... We lower the heel on the club foot to get the palmar angle proper and move the balance point back. But then we actually put a little wedge on that side because we have to get the foot back under the leg. Usually the heels are long, but they're run forward and they're not under the leg if good attention hasn't been done with the trimming and shoeing. So we actually sometimes at the beginning have to make it look more upright to make it start working better and develop a good foot. And over time, with the right procedures, it improves very well.
Okay, so if you could just come on out here to Arizona and get that done, that would be fantastic. I'll see you. That'd take you about 3 hours.
It's no problem from New York.
Ticket. I'll be there.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Send me the ticket like in January.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't want to be shoeing horses here now, that's for sure. Well, listen, this has been so fascinating and so interesting. As always, you guys go on, not Glenn, but everybody else who likes horses, go on to the Cornell Farrier program. Search for that on Facebook. We'll post a link to it, too, on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And as always, Steve Krause, the head of Farrier Services, thank you so much for joining us and explaining this. And now I'm going to go pet my pony because apparently he's going to be crippled forever. Just kidding.
No. You'll have lots of, you just have them done right and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Lots of good work out in Arizona.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. Well, thank you very much. And Steve, we'll talk to you again next time.
Okay. Good talking to you guys.
Thanks,
good
Steve. It's great. You.
Okay. So bye.
So much great information just rolls out of his mouth.
I know. And you know what? You'd almost think he was a vet because he just knows the horse. He knows how the foot relates to the horse, you know, and very cool. I always thought he was Kim Baker there for a minute, and he was, you know.
I'm going to tell you something about your horse. He always goes lame on the left front because his – oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's
why. Okay. I thought it was because he raced so many times on these tiny little crap track circle where it's like it basically just runs in a circle that I thought maybe his left front ankle was messed up. And then I had x-rays taken of that. No, it looked fine. There's no arthritis in there.
You should have just talked to Steve. It would have been free.
God, I feel like I need to retire him now. Seriously.
All right, let's take a break for our song. I saw a bunch of people posting on my Facebook page. And, you know, I met a couple people out at the conference who were also married to horse people, were horse husbands. And one of the things they all bitched about was making hay. So, and I know it's hay time, hay and time around the country. So we're going to play Equestrian Collections and then Hay and Time by Marion Kennedy. We're coming back with Victoria with the European Report from Horse and Country TV. All coming up yet on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hi, everybody. Coach Jen here from Horse Radio Network, and I'm with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com. And once again, she's got our product of the week from EquestrianCollection.com. What have you got for us, Debbie?
Well, hi, Jen. First, I want to shout out to some of our fans out there who mention on their emails to Equestrian Collections that they watch. They say listen to the radio show and that they enjoy it. So keep those comments coming, and any suggestions, let me know. This week, I want to feature the Noble Outfitters Wound Care Large Animal Spray. This stuff works. It is so good. And we have it in 8-ounce and 5-ounce sizes. It's very safe. I mean, when we first had a rep come by, she puts it on her apples because she's allergic to stuff that they put on the apples in the store. It's food grade. It's safe for eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. And it doesn't, like in the winter, some of the similar items can't deal with the cold weather. This is fine in cold weather. And I'm telling you, it works. You know, I do a lot of trail riding, and my horse gets ticks, and I take them off every time. But sometimes they leave a little bite mark, and I have used this thing. And I'm telling you, overnight, one day he put a little boo-boo on his head at the hay bunk, at the round bale bunk, put this stuff on. By the next day, it was almost healed. I'm telling you, this stuff is great. I certainly recommend trying the Noble Outfitters Wound Care Large Animal Spray. Keep it around your farm. Use it on those little cuts and abrasions that come up, you know, when they hit themselves boo-boo and stuff like that. Excellent stuff. Give it a try.
There you go. Recommended from Debbie, who has lots of horses who are just as good at getting boo-boos as yours are. The Noble Outfitters Wound Care small and large animal. They have it in the foam and the spray at EquestrianCollections.com.
From winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round. But they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay in time, hay in time, making hay while the sun shines, sweating bullets. I swear it's 99. Calling all your favorites, cause it's haying time. So call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we stack that celebrate, and I know we earned that ale. Hay in time, hay in time, making hay while the sun shines, sweating bullets. I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's hay in time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy. I swear it's 99. Call up all the neighbors, the givers and the takers, calling all your favors, cause it's hayin' time.
Hey in Time by Marianne Kennedy. I don't know if you remember this. I told you this a long time ago, Jamie. The worst haying experience we ever had was we had our large farm. We had and we moved to a smaller farm. Well, right before we moved, we had an entire flatbed tractor trailer load of hay delivered to the farm. About 2 weeks before we realized the closing was going to go faster, we thought, we loaded it into the mow. This is an entire tractor trailer load, hundreds of bales. Loaded it into the mow, and 2 weeks later, we ended up having to call a tractor trailer truck to come back, unload it from the mow, and load it into the new place. And that's in addition to trying to move everything else when you're moving a farm. Let me tell you, that was a long-ass day.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a nightmare. So why so you sold the farm. Did you sell the farm to somebody who was wanting to buy the farm?
No, we actually got into our new one much sooner than we thought we would. So, and we bought the track. The way it worked in Pennsylvania, you went to hay auctions to buy your hay. So you showed up at hay auction, there'd be 100 trucks of hay there of all different sizes. This happened to be a tractor trailer truck that Jennifer got at a good price. So it's not like you could wait, right? So, yeah, that was a nightmare. We've all have haying stories. Even these guys at the conference were telling haying stories, you know, finding snakes. I mean, all different things when you do hay, right? I mean, just especially if you have a whole mouthful. You know, if you're doing it like we do it now, we get a small batch at a time now. But boy, when you live in the Northeast, you get a tractor trailer truck load.
Yeah.
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 Or you're bringing it out of the fields and right from the wagons into the hay mow. There's nothing dirtier and more tiring than stacking hay.
I was thinking maybe like, why didn't you just sell that with the property?
No, people bought it, didn't have animals. So it's like, and besides, we'd got a good price on it. We weren't selling it with the property.
It's my hay.
It's my hay. It was good hay too. But yeah, oh, what a nightmare. Anyway, you're listening to Horses in the Morning Hay Talk here on Horses. Hay, yeah. Maggots, and wild horses. We've had quite a show here this morning.
No kidding. My God, I'm exhausted.
Jamie Jennings is here. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. I am Glenda Geek. And I did want to mention before we go out to Victoria that it is a fun time right now at the Kentucky Horse Park. Going on right now, started yesterday, is the United States Pony Finals.
Really?
800 little kids and their ponies, all there for hunter, jumper, and equitation classes. If you want to see the cutest damn thing ever, you get on the USEF Network live stream over the next couple of days, and you'll see these little kids out there in their little riding outfits with their cutest little ponies ever out doing equitation, or trying to, you know, and trying to do hunters. But they're pretty good because they've made it to the finals, right? And jumpers, there's nothing cuter than seeing a 10-year-old in their little outfit jumping, right? On a Thelwell pony.
God. Please tell me they have braids with a ribbon in it.
I'm sure they do. You got to watch. It's free to watch it. It's at the USEFnetwork.com. They're doing the Walnut and the Alltech arenas. So they're actually in the Alltech arena. They have all kinds of competitions going on during this. This started in 1967. So it's been going on for a long time, the U.S. Pony Finals, but how cute. So check it out. Just if you need a cute, you know, if you need to meditate today, go on there and watch the little ponies. It'll relax you.
Yeah, that was just stress me out. I'll go on YouTube and Google what's a little kid's name, Ed the Naughty Pony, with his rider Ross that we talked to. It's like, do you remember the video? I mean, it's the most famous pony video on the internet where the Ed the Naughty Pony like continues to buck the kid off.
Yes, yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And like jumps the jump and then stops, puts his head down, and the guy rolls off. Like it was so funny. It's sad, but Ed is okay and Ross has got a new horse now. We talked to the mother. They were posting the video to talk to a trainer, to show the trainer what this pony does to this poor child. It's hilarious. So we'll have to find that and post that.
Now, Jennifer said, Jennifer, you said there's a Mustang competing too?
Yes, it's been all over the Chronicle. There's a young lady there, and I'm pretty sure this is one of the young gals that was on Emily's jumping episode every month competing her pony. Oh, and I wish I could remember his name. I'll have to look it up. Little gray pony that was a Mustang.
Oh, wow.
They adopted it from the BLM, and he's off to the pony finals.
Wow, that's great.
Isn't that cool?
Now, is the hunter-jumper world somewhere where a Freeze brand would get points taken off?
you know,
I don't think the ponies relaxed
a little bit on that stuff. Although we had that conversation with Emily this week about whether they were ever going to have. This was a funny conversation. You're going to love this. That I said, are they ever going to look like the NASCAR drivers with, you know, ads all over their hunt coat? And she didn't think so in the hunt ring, but maybe in eventing and jumpers. So I don't think so in the hunt ring.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think we're going to see patches all over for motor oil on their coats anytime.
Hooflex on their jacket.
Yeah, probably not going to happen. Probably not.
That's funny. I wonder if apparently that has started to, and I'm adding Victoria in here from Horse and Country TV. Apparently that has started happening a little bit more in Europe. Emily said that they're really starting to brand their clothing more. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Are you there? Is everything okay?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear
there
me?
There you go. That's much better. So, you know, before we get started with your segment, we were just talking about the fact that we had our jumping show yesterday, and we were talking about whether the jumpers are going to get to the point where, like, NASCAR drivers and race car drivers and polo and rodeo guys, where they have logos, you know, for their advertisers all over their clothing.
Jockeys have them.
Do you think that's going to happen anytime soon in the hunt ring?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess show jumping outfits have really changed since the, you know, even as recently as 20 years ago, when we all were wearing velvet hats and red jackets for men or blue jackets for girls. And now you get any sorts of colors of show jackets. And I guess it's just a matter of time before we start allowing increasing amounts of advertising.
Do you think we'll have to?
I think lots of sports people do want to make their make their brand awareness a bit better. I know lots of eventers have talked about it and their cross-country gear, and they think that their sport is really marketable, and so they should be wearing slogans. I'm a traditionalist, and I like to see riders looking smart and as they always have done, but I guess we're all fighting to succeed.
Yeah, but we can look smart and make money too. That'd be a switch, huh?
Indeed. And always a rare.
You know, too, and me, I don't know if you do this, Victoria, but you're an eventer. You can always put something on the corner of your saddle pad, you know, I mean, down in the square pad.
Well, aren't
in the corner.
They're all putting stuff down their legs too, or the outsides of their legs, down the seam. That's where I've seen advertising on jockeys and some eventers now.
Did you see that American Pharoah in the last race had a monster energy drink shadow roll? And what
really?
A shadow roll is that big noseband that goes over the horse and keeps him from seeing shadows on the ground. And it had a big green M on the front of it.
There we
Hi,
go.
Funny.
Next, it'll be the harnesses all logoed up. That's what's going to happen next. Well, Victoria is from Horse and Country TV. I won't bother playing the intro for you this morning. We already have you here. So let's just talk about what you got in store for us today. And I got to tell you, an American makes the top story for you today. That doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, not so much of a European roundup, although it was a win in Europe for BZ Madden, who yet again won the King's Cup at Hickstead. A year ago, she became the first ever lady rider to win the class, which sounds quite impressive because it's been going for 106 years. But actually, women weren't even allowed to compete in the class until 2008. So she made history last year by becoming the first female winner. And now, of course, she's made history again by becoming the first dual female winner. So great to see her doing so well.
Can we just throw in there that it's about damn time that we go over there and win something? You've been coming over here and taking Rolex for the last 10 years. It's about time we go over there and win something.
Yes, indeed. But your show jumpers are pretty impressive. You know, last year they won the King's Cup with BZ and they won the Nations Cup. So they're pretty formidable when they come over to the British soil.
And you know what? When we bring those, are you euros or pounds?
We're pounds.
When we bring those pounds back, they're worth so much more here. It's very nice. Very nice.
Confusingly, the King's Cup on all our international classes, like he said, are given in euros, presumably not to confuse the other European shows and the European riders that come across to compete there. And so 200,000 euros was the prize fund for the King's Cup. So I think Beezy will have had her airfare paid for.
Beezy's buying dinner. Everybody at BZ's.
Indeed.
She is, she's 51 too. I mean, we're not, you know, that is what is so cool about our sport over other sports is she's 51 years old and she's just winning everything.
She is, and she really made us laugh because we pointed out that she was the first back-to-back winner of the competition since 1961. And she said, hey, that was before I was even born, and that was a long time ago. So, yeah, she did make us laugh.
Yeah, she's born 2 years after me. Yep, and she's in much better shape, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, she is probably riding 8 horses a day. So there you go. That's the answer.
Well, you know, when I met her for the first time, I was, you know, for some reason, when you meet a superstar rider, you expect them to be domineering. You know, I expect her to be like 5'10", and she's not. She's a tiny little thing. So
she is with a huge big horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she did brilliantly.
Well, how about the Belgian Nations Cup?
Yes, well, this is a slightly bad story for you guys because we had a Nations Cup round, which is a 2-round team competition when all 4 riders on a team jump twice. And we had Sweden and Belgium tying in the lead for right till the end when suddenly America jumped into contention and ended up making there be a 3-way jump off. And so each of the teams had to nominate one rider, and America picked Beezy. And so off she went to, you know, hoping to set a fast clear to put pressure on the other ones. And she actually had an uncharacteristic run out. She had a knockdown and part of a double and then ran out of the second element. And so she cost the Americans your Nations Cup win for Beezy. So I think that's why she was desperate to do make amends on Sunday.
Were you guys serving
King's
her
Cup
martinis at lunch or what?
Well, it's not like her at all, and so she was very unlucky, but these things happen. And Sweden and Belgium then Switzerland and Belgium then went head to head, and they both jumped clears, but the Belgian team was just a little bit quicker, so they took the title, but it was very close.
Very good. Well, you know, what you don't understand is we're happy to take third in any horse sport. We're thrilled with that.
You were in the presentation. It was fine.
That's right. We're on the podium. We're happy. And then everybody's rider, you have a story about Andrew Nicholson.
We did. Now, we had the Eventers Challenge back at Hickstead. It used to be called the Eventers Grand Prix, and we'd have some show jumpers and some eventers, and they'd do a course of show jumps, and then they'd jump out of the main arena, which always confused the show jumpers, and then they'd like do some cross-country fences in the grounds of Hickstead and then back into the main arena. And actually, we had a change in our TV schedules, so we weren't showing all the days of action from Hickstead, and they realised that they couldn't have of people jumping out of the arena and disappearing off if they didn't have cameras to follow them, or else everybody would be sitting there going, what's going on?
And then they don't come back. It's like, I missed the good stuff.
So last year they were like, let's not have the Eventers Grand Prix, you know, it's run its course, we've had it for years. And so we didn't have it, and there was just outcry and people really missed it. So this year they brought it back, and yay, they stuck to the main arena, just made it Eventers, so no show jumpers, which meant they could make it really hard and really big. And so we got some of the biggest names in the sport, including Nicholson and Pip Funnel and Tina Cook and Tim Price, who was there in the lovely Wesco. And Andrew Nicholson just came around, sauntered around this course, which did cause quite a few problems, with an easy clear to win. So, and then all the girls in the press office were delighted because he came, and we all did a lot of giggling.
I saw Jenny Rudel, your counterpart, snuggling up to him on the couch there.
Yeah, lucky girl. Apparently, he said he was going to take his prize champagne to the pony club that evening where his kids were competing. And he said, this will make me popular with the pony club mums. And apparently Jenny said, you won't need that to make you popular.
Good
Yes, indeed. So that was all in caught on camera. You can see that on our website.
Personal questions here. Is he married? I mean, I know he's got kids, but is he still married?
I think.
Well, you know, William Fox Pitt is on his second marriage. His first wife is now married to Andrew Nicholson.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
Okay, that's the one. Okay, I thought that was the one. I was trying to remember, but I didn't know.
How old is he? Is he in his 50s?
He is in his 50s, yeah. So.
And he's still good looking as ever.
I think he's getting better with age, so.
Isn't that totally not fair that guys get better looking with age and girls just don't? It's not fair.
I think we should demand a recount. This is not. So, yes.
That's funny. Well, you know, you also have at Hickstead, what's the Supreme Horse?
Yeah, so this is showing, so just, I'm not sure what you guys have as an equivalent, but like beauty contest for horses, as I always describe it. And so we have a Supreme Horse and a Supreme Pony Championship where all the champions from the week gather in the main ring and ride off against each other. So we'll have like a cob and a hunter and a hack and the Arab and all the different, the working hunter, all the different horses. And it's a really funny video because the cob went first and you get 2 minutes to do a display and you're obviously, you know, oh, you're limited to what you can do on the flat. And so what this cob did was galloped around the main arena and then ran up the Derby bank and stood there at the top of the Derby. Luckily, it didn't come down the steep side because I'm not sure many cobs have been down there. But it's really funny and the crowd just loved it. So there's a video of it and you can see what they all do.
They didn't.
It was such a shame. It went to a head-to-head between the hack and the hunter. And the hunter galloped all the way around the main ring, which is quite impressive given it's probably about like 4 or 5 furlongs. And it just kept galloping on. So the gallop did it, as it often does.
It just galloped around in a circle? Like, that's it? That's it?
Yep. Yeah.
Much more impressive to go up the bank.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look like a cute little cob, why not? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. All for the ponies. Ponies should win everything.
Oh, well, the ponies have their own championship, and the girl that won is called Susie Edis, and she won on her little working hunter pony, which apparently has been used in the past for pulling Santa's sleigh. So he's a character. So we've got an interview with Susie, the winner, up on our site, so it's really sweet.
Okay, I just watched the video, and the one who won that was doing the galloping, Jamie, this is not a lope. This horse was flying.
Yeah, they really go for it. Yeah. And the whole point in showing is that you're meant to be able to really gallop and really push them on, but they won't buck or they won't break their rhythm, and when you pull them up, they'll just immaculately glide into a slow canter and then come back to a halt. And so there is some skill. It's not just kicking.
Whatever, like my horse totally does that.
Yeah.
I just gallop and then I just ask nicely for him to slow down and stop, and he just does. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't need to, runs away.
Mine does it at a bolt. Does that count?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just.
I'm not quite sure you'll be in the main arena instead next year, but you never know.
Yeah, you know what the problem with that is? At a bolt, all of those jumps get in the way. They really are in the way.
Yes, they do. Yeah. It's quite a big arena for them to go in, and you can see in the video there's a huge big water jump, so that can be quite bewildering for show horses.
Do you know how jealous we all are of the cool shows and different stuff you do over there with horses?
Oh, we are very lucky. But you guys have really cool shows.
Yeah, but no, you know, you guys do some different stuff. And the other thing is it's relatively close to get there compared to what we have to do to get to a show.
True.
That's cool, right? So,
but I will say that Hickstead is a stone's throw from Gatwick Airport, just south of London. So I will expect you both to appear and do a special horses in the morning report from Hickstead next year.
I'm in.
If we could find a sponsor, we would be there in a minute.
Well, there you go. It has to happen.
Okay. We would love to do shows live from there. That'd be great.
Oh, you're very welcome anytime.
Well, I think we know the lady who runs the press office, too.
You do, yes.
You know, we were talking about it, Victoria. We were talking about this. You'll get a you'll appreciate this running a press office. When we first started way 7-8 years ago, nobody knew who we were. We tried to get for Rolex the first year, we tried to get press passes, and we couldn't get them. We couldn't get press passes the first year. And Now we're like the fifth largest podcasting network in the world. And it's easier to get press passes now. But I had to call in favors to get press passes for the Wagon. We did the World of Question Games radio show. So, things change, don't they?
They really do.
Obviously, Victoria has translated into millions of dollars for all of us.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, Victoria's not sitting on that millions of dollars either.
No, sadly not.
Hey, you have another blog, too, and this is written by Daisy Bunn.
Yes.
Now, Daisy has the job you should have, which appears like she just hangs out with all the hot guys and then writes articles about it.
Yeah, so Daisy is the daughter of the founder of Hickstead. My dad, bless him, never set up any international showgrounds. So so sadly, I don't get to do that. But she gets to host all the celebrities in the box and hang out with the writers. And she's grown up with them all, so fair play to her. But she's really funny, and she's done a blog every day of the international season this year. Which I have to say was set up well before me. It's not just me pulling strings as Hickstead press officer to make sure Daisy gets a prime blog spot. She's been doing it for a long time.
But I think she has a private dressing room too, Jamie, because every blog post she's wearing a different dress. So I think she does an article, gets a picture, runs in and changes and comes out.
Yeah, I think so.
Like Carrie Underwood in the concert.
It wouldn't surprise me. She's a very glamorous young lady, so yes. But she's always on good form and usually doing quite embarrassing things, like when she went into the main arena and they started playing It's Raining Men over the tannoy, and Daisy said to someone, "Raining Men at Hickstead, I don't think so. I've been looking for years and there are none," and then realized that she was speaking to somebody who was mic'd out. Mic'd up. Went there and told her she was a
She's that girl.
She is you, Jamie.
Love her.
That is funny. But then when your dad started the place, you can get away with that stuff. So.
Exactly.
Anybody else, you would have been fired minute. But she can get away with it. Yeah.
Indeed. Now, and my question this week of my press office is, one chap who's been coming for nearly 30 years is complaining that we're always working too hard in the press office and we don't seem to have enough time to chat. So I don't know the difference in the media, but there seems to be quite a lot to do these days with social media.
Well, you know what, though? See, our gig is pretty good because we don't have to write articles. So really, our job is to chat. Right?
Yes.
So.
But I'm quite missing a part. My predecessor got to smoke a pipe and chat to all the journalists and make sure they had a glass of wine. I could do that job. Sadly, I have to write lots. So, yes.
We're always the one, Jamie will attest to this, when we go to Rolex, which are the biggest event we go to, right? So when we go to Rolex, we're the only ones in the press room that don't look stressed.
That's so true. I've got to move to radio.
We're out walking the grounds, talking to people. Then we come back and we do an hour and a half show, and then we're back out again.
I'm jealous.
Well, when we come over there, we'll just bring you into our world. Okay. We'll have you slow down.
Get nothing done.
I'll say we've got some very important guests coming from America, and I must be there to chat to them nonstop.
Hey, that's right. That's right.
No
that
more
is
writing
correct.
For me.
That's right. Well, you've got to come on our show when we come over, though.
Absolutely. I will be there. I can do it live. No need to Skype. I could be there with your microphone. So there you go.
All right. We're going to have to put that on the schedule, Jamie. We need to find a sponsor that has lots of money that can bring us over. We need to find a British sponsor. That's
Net
it.
Jet. You could ask
how the American team are flying their horses over, and then maybe kind of pretend to be grooms and go in the hold.
I've always wanted to do that, actually. I think that'd
be
fun.
You could be doing an in-depth report on flying horses internationally.
Hey, Jamie, that is a good idea.
There you go.
I don't know. I would do that. I don't know if Jamie would, but I would do that in a minute.
You could do minute by minute updates from the cabin.
From the cabin.
I'll throw a towel over my shoulder and carry a little bucket around. I don't care.
You have pretty much just summed up what grooms do. They don't do anything else. Towel, bucket, wander around.
Towel, bucket, wander around. Like every once in a while, wipe off somebody's boots. I mean, it's not hard.
Do you think that you could be a celebrity groom for William Fox Pitt?
Yeah.
Not anymore. Not with our talk about Andrew Nicholson being so hot.
We blew that one.
We're dead to WFP now.
Do you know how they have celebrity judges and things? You could be a celebrity groom and just hang out at William Fox Pitt's stable with your towel in your bucket.
Let's move on. Let's let me
Talking of celebrity grooms, if you guys do come over, we do scurry driving and we do a celebrity scurry at the June meeting, not at the July meeting, but at the June meeting. So I would make sure that you got to be picked in the back of a scurry car.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
So there you go, in the international arena. So not only would you get to come and report, you get to be in the
show.
Could
Jamie and I both do it so I could be competing against her?
We usually have about eight drivers
just
doing it.
Yes.
I might
just
be able to swing it.
Just say
can
yes.
Can I?
We all want
to. Yes.
Because we're not coming. But I love that Glenn thinks we're going to get some big rich. The Zayat family is going to sponsor. American Pharoah and Monster are sending us to Europe. That's going to happen. Any day. See you next June.
Perfect.
We're going to make this happen. We're going to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Has been a true treat today, Victoria. We appreciate you joining us, and thank you so much for stopping by.
You're very welcome. Have a great week.
All right. You too. We'll play the music out.
I feel like I should be doing a farewell wave.
Bye. Bye, Victoria.
She was in rare form today. I think her Hickstead thing was done, so she's all happy now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's hard work when you're in charge of a press office with hundreds of press that are all... And, you know, my experience, and yours probably too, press people never seem to be happy when they're working. I don't know why that is. They're always stressed for a deadline, and they're always trying to get things uploaded, and then the Wi-Fi is never working right, and then we're there just hanging out. It's so funny.
Yeah, well, nobody looks happy because we're so happy. Everybody hates us.
You know, the radio gig is a pretty good one. We don't have to write stuff. We just talk, you know? It was funny because in a couple of conferences I was at last weekend, they said, you should have a blog to go along with your podcast. And I'm like, screw that. I can't write. I'm not a blog.
We have a Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly.
We post
that's our
to
blog.
Stuff other people write.
Yeah, Twitter, 140 characters. That's my length right there. You know, in 140 characters, I only can misspell about 3 or 4 words. So it's perfect. It's perfect. You're not much of a writer, though, either, are you?
I have been a writer. I just don't have the patience. Like typing an email is exhausting to me to sit down and actually use my fingertips and write something. Again, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. I just, that sitting still thing, I'm like, what do I need to be doing right now?
Yeah. I could be doing 5 other things. The stalls need cleaned.
I need to meditate right now.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
so
right.
busy.
I'm going to play that out today. How about instead of the closing music, which is rather jarring, right? I'm going to play the meditation out. We can all just smooth our way into the day. I'm telling you, their podcast is making thousands of dollars every month with meditation.
How do you insert a commercial into a meditation?
That's a good question. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that.
You're like totally in the... If you're looking for a new car, here's what you need to do. Come on down and see us at Bob and Big Boy Car Dealership. Like, that would suck you right out of your happiness.
Hey, get your really bad ads in for Friday. We'll
and
be
if you
here.
Need a car.
We'll be here. So get your really bad ads in for Friday. We need some. And Jennifer is going to make sure. Is it a drawing week?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I think it is.
All right. So we're going to pull an equitymfg.com flex and fork for everybody that submitted. And can we include this week's people? So if they submit it for this week, they can be included?
Yes.
All right. So if you submit a really bad ad, go to Craigslist, find a really crappy ad in the farm section, send it to us. And if you anybody that sends us an ad is in the drawing for the Flex and Fork, which is the valued, prized prize of any of the prizes we have. And you're going to want to be in that drawing. So send it in. We'll pull a winner on Friday, and we'll just have a little fun then, too. Jamie's going to give us an update on the horses there in the forest in Arizona, and we'll see how that's going. Hopefully it's good news.
I posted it, the link to sign the petition, which is, you know, sometimes the most people can do. And I'll also post the phone numbers you can call to get involved if you would like to do more. I got sent around to press 7, and when you press 7, no, press 4, and then press 0, and here you go, and then it just starts over. So it was frustrating to call. But I'll give you the phone numbers as well. I'll put them on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. So thanks, you guys, for any support you can give, and we love you all.
Very good. Now let's all just sit back.
Spay, neuter, geld, by the way.
Relax.
And relax.
And we'll end the show with...